This is the April 27 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Don't forget that you can dial in right now at 217-244-9455. Thank you very much, by the way, if you already have, or you're just about to make a donation in support of the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. You can also do that online at Will Pledge. Now, I like the $160 level. I know that's an increase. We're usually at $120. That's fine. $80, $40, $360, $400, whatever you want to give is perfectly fine. But do give. Do that at 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Donate now. Our panelists for the day include from agmarket.net, both Kurt Kimmel and Wayne Nelson, and Greg Johnson should join us as well from TGM. So let's begin with this question after the trade on Thursday. Kurt, what now?
Well, the market took the stairs up and it's taken the elevator down. So we're in kind of a free fall in through here. All of a sudden, everybody's heading towards the exit. You know, we're entering the end of the month, some long liquidation there, some concerning export news, including myself. I was kind of optimistic on corn demand, but China came in and canceled almost 600,000 metric tons. And you figure that in the supply-demand balance sheet, all of a sudden you're seeing maybe a lower export number and maybe a higher carryout number. Now, the big picture is if that demand was transferred to the Southern Hemisphere, they're going to use up the Southern Hemisphere, but we're fighting that stigma here in the U.S. Plus, too, we got some favorable weather here as far as moisture-wise. Not real warm, but moisture-wise, we're dry, so we're seeing a lot of planning progress take place. So we're in the mindset here. The market's just in a free fall. There's several technical spots underneath the market to look for, see if we can try to catch in here. But the key is once we get into next weekend here to see if some new money comes in and some of this commodity fund liquidation goes to the sell off to the sidelines here because we're incredibly oversold.
So Wayne Nelson, he did mention the cancellations that China put in place on corn. This was for deliveries in this marketing year. It's interesting to think about that because once in a while you're like, well, they'll just come back in and buy it later at a lower price. But the marketing year is fast running out by the time we get to September. And he has some concerns, I think rightfully so, that they might turn their attention to lower priced corn out of Brazil. That would be the second crop there. What do we know about that safrinha crop? What does it look like at this point?
Well, right now it's starting good. It had a sort of a slow start, was a little late planted, but the weather forecasts are fairly good for it. And it's looking there, and look at the dollar difference between the Brazilian corn price and look at the American corn price. And there is over a dollar difference between it. And I'll tell you what, once it goes there and they get what they want, it's sort of a sad tale for us. The other thing we have to look at and see is there was a news article on the Newswire today talking about Cargill, Brazil, talking about how China's taking a lot of stuff, but not as much and as fast as they intended to. And their stocks are going to last a little longer than what we were hoping for down there. They thought that they'd be in and out of the market because they were taking stuff rather hurriedly. And we're going to deplete their stocks faster and give us a chance to get back in that market. So that's one of the things that's bad. You know, we haven't sold anything to the Chinese for a couple of weeks. We're looking there. The political tones out there are not good for what China's talking to us, the whole other thing along the way. You know, and another thing out there we're looking at is how about the exports coming out of the Ukraine and Russia? Are they going to renew that? They keep saying it doesn't look like it's going to get renewed. And that's going to throw another sort of crazy thing in there. The European Union not letting Ukraine even ship sealed cars through their countries. A lot of craziness going on.
Well, on that note, is that a positive for the U.S. marketplace in some point? Because there won't be wheat and or corn, soybeans, sunflower coming out of Ukraine, into the western part of Europe or into the Mideast. Will that cause a need to purchase grain from somewhere else, whether it is the United States, I suppose, or Brazil.
Yes, it will, or we hope it will, because we hate to see just lost to the world with demand. And I think there is that possibility. One of the problems is right now the exchange rate has been very poor. We still seem to be the highest priced grain in the world as we speak right now. And that is one of the things that's really hard on us. And I think one of the things we're doing is we're losing the strength of the dollar. And I'm talking about not just dollar as in how it trades, but in the strength of the dollar in that China now actually in a cross-border trading uses more yuan than it does dollars. And it used to be the dollar was the king of the currencies. And we are losing that battle terribly bad.
What happened to worries about food inflation? I mean, they're not wanting to import or move stuff around to curb prices and make stuff a little cheaper for the input side of the equation to process some food. But I believe the corridor is going to stay open. I believe China has too much of a vested interest in that region to continue to see grain come out and the rest of the world. If it is shut down, I think it's for a very short time. But I just don't believe China is going to go in there and negotiate and come to agreement with Russia and Ukraine and solve this whole issue. If they do that, we've got problems.
Is it important that Xi Jinping was meeting with Zelensky this week?
Well, I think that's positive. I hate to see the war continue, but it's kind of like this movie or weekly program Survivor on TV. Everybody's forming these alliances and stuff. And so we got to keep an eye on who's saying what to who.
It depends on the jam, I suppose. So we'll see what that looks like as we move forward. If you're a producer in Indiana, how much of your crop do you have in the ground at this time in the Crawfordsville area?
Beans, we're approaching 80 or 90% of the beans in the ground. We're probably in the maybe 10 to 20% of the corn in the ground, Todd. I drove over here. Of course, we're meeting in Champaign now, and I drove all the way from Crawfordsville there. I saw a lot of ground that had been planted, a lot of ground that had been worked, and I saw nothing I could row.
Yeah, so there really isn't very much that is up. Is there anything between here and Bloomington normal that is up?
I couldn't row anything, but there was reports one seed guy said he, as a state, needed 7,000 acres of bean seed to be replanted. So we'll see how that unfolds. Bloomington normal. Guys put the beans in. We got the beans in, except for the seed beans. They're going to wait on the seed beans. And corn, probably 50%. But it's highly variable from area to area. Guys in southern Minnesota are still kind of slow getting going. You don't have to go very far south into southern Illinois, southern Indiana, up the Ohio River Valley. They received 3 inches of rain and another inch of rain. So they're still plugging away. But we're above the five-year average on planting progress. And the 6 to 10 day forecast is dry, not real warm, but dry.
I tell you that when I was talking with Mike Tenora on Thursday afternoon, he showed me a new product that is just available on the website from T-Storm. And I want to say it is called Weather Spec, but I don't remember whether that's quite the right word for it. But you can plug in. Well, you can take a look at it. You can't exactly plug in. And it's keeping track of growing degree days there. Interesting to look at. Where we are in the United States, it is in the central Illinois area, and then there's an area in Kansas. It also shows you how dry Kansas and Oklahoma is. So those who are interested might want to take a look at that.
Yeah, one extra thing to keep in mind, this is long term. We got a lot of growing season to go, but if these early bean plantings produce higher yields, truly produce higher yields, with all these early beans going in, the U.S., the government reports on bean yields are too low. We're going to have to see that go up. Then plus two, if this weather doesn't warm up here, the corn yield's probably too high.
Well, the corn yield's high. Well, I should take that back. The corn yield is trend line, but it's above 5.4 bushel, anything that we've produced in the United States at this point.
Yeah, it's a lot of growing season in front of us. Anything can happen. Once you think something, mindset, watch out. But it's going to be awful hard, I think, to achieve those yields with the big swings in the weather patterns and the vulnerability from location to the next location.
Are we very worried about the WASDE or the May USDA report, which will be the first time that they put the numbers that came out in the prospective plantings report in place into a supply and demand table along with that 181 bushel to the acre trend line yield?
Well, of course, every time there's a WASDE report, you better be worried or else you're really stupid. you know, because we never know what Washington might say. But the fact of the matter is, I think those numbers will be adjusted or massaged or whatever you want to say and look at things. I think we're going to be looking more at what the weather has been in between, what the crop looks like, what the crop progress and planning is, and what the crop ratings are as far as we look at that. I think we're going to look a lot more at where everybody is as far as the export business. Can we pick up a little bit in the next few weeks, or do we go down and stay really crummy with what we have or be below expectations? I think we're going to be looking a lot more at that than just looking at what we know is going to be fixed and won't be adjusted for this report. And I think that along the way, the one thing that I'm really concerned about and don't quite understand is, you know, on the way over, I was listening to the radio, and one of the elevators come on and said they were paying 60 over for soybeans. We're paying 60 over. We're paying 40 over. We're bull spread into all these. Where is all of the strength coming from? And yet we fall out of bed with all of our fundamentals. I'm confused.
Do you have any answers?
Punt. Yeah, I think it's a situation in through here that the bull spread is going to continue to work in here. They're worried about demand in July. That's a long ways away from here. You know, if they're worried about corn and coming out of that Brazilian area, well, if they're all plugged up, the beans can't move it, and this corn harvest is a little later. I think we're the only available source of corn in through here until we can move into this fall. But the thing is, I think the play continues to be the bull spread once the May goes off. I think the July, you can do the July SEP, you can do the July DEES. I don't think the fundamentals have changed. I believe, looking at the grain stocks report, old crop corn's not there. Actually, exports have to go down to balance the sheet because I believe they overestimated last year's corn production.
Well, on that note, in the May contract or in the May USDA report, will WASDE adjust that down?
I think it's still a little early in the marketing season. I know we're in that last half of it, but I believe their first approach would probably maybe lower exports slightly in through here, but I think it's going to be June before they start to really address it.
Yeah, so let me go back just a little bit because I'm thinking about these reports and what they really contain. If what I'm hearing you suggest were to come to fruition, it wouldn't be until we got to the end of the year, of the marketing year, or the September report, that we would see an adjustment in acreage.
For last year.
Well, I don't know about acreage, but for production,
right,
adjust that. But we've seen the same movie, what, 3-4 years ago, on boots on the ground. It's not there, it's not there, not there. And we did not see any acknowledgement that it was not there until we moved into the new marketing year after we've got through August 31st into September 1. So you can be right, but it might take a little time for it to pan out.
What did the Thursday trade do to the charts for both corn and soybeans?
Oh boy, down and ugly. We're just in a free falling through here. If you're a technician, we're oversold. The momentum indicators are straight down and through here. Technically, corn, DEES corn below 540, that kind of opens the door up to 525. November beans, it needs to hold this uptrend line here at 1252. If we move much below 1252 November beans, that opens the door to move on down to this 1225, 1210 level.
What are some of the outside traders or the other traders in the marketplace doing at this point? What are they telling their clientele?
Well, Todd, believe it or not, on Thursday, one of the crop advisor, marketing advisors, put out an order to buy June 1280 short dated November against November options for about 12 cents with the idea that this had been sort of a washout. We already had hedges on and we're feeling if the weather market would happen that 12 cents wasn't bad, poorly spent to protect all we've made on the hedges that they have on there. So that's one of the things. Some of the guys are thinking this could be touching or getting within a week of the bottom along the way. We've seen a lot of different people wanting to put a little bit of protection to the upside. We saw another group that was buying feed corn for their livestock, 50% that they bought on Thursday. So there are some people saying these are down at levels that have value. And I think that's what Kurt was talking about when he said the basis levels are staying very, very strong, that there is value for cash corn, cash beans at these levels. The wheat, I mean, we're seeing Canada planting more wheat. We're seeing the rain out west in the wheat areas, and we're seeing the soft red wheat come in with pretty good crop ratings and everything along that way, and they're really greened up and looking good. So the wheat might still have some problems, but the corn and the beans possibly have something that they could bounce off here in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're getting down to some areas here. We've got month in. We got first notice day here on Friday. Even though we might not have any deliveries, I think just the psychology going into deliveries, once we start that process, then we can kind of clean things up. But as Wayne said, this is an excellent opportunity for livestock guys to go ahead and book some corn and even some meal here on this price break. If you're heavily sold up on cash, want to do some replacements, I would defend $6 back to the upside on the corn and just above $15 there on the beans.
Any final word from the two of you about the marketplace for the day? We'll start with you, Wayne Nelson of agmarket.net.
Well, we've got some good news and some bad news to look at what's going on out there. The good news is anhydrous dropped below $1,000 this week. And I mean, the first time in a long time here, and with these prices that are decreasing on our grains, we really need that, and that's great. The bad news is Drunken Miller, that used to work with George Soros, says that the American dollar is something that should be sold, and it's an easy trade to make a lot of money on. And we hate to see somebody coming in here and selling the American dollar aggressively like that. So that's sort of the bad news of what it could do to the economy.
And Kurt Kimmel.
That's a hard one to follow up with, but our good friend down in Waco, Texas, had a nice— I listened to him for half an hour. You know, it's hard to visit with him, but he's got good some information still. He was kind of feeling we're moving contra-seasonal in through here. Typically, we have some type of June high, but we could maybe move in lower into May here and have some type of late spring, early summer low. One way to do some damage control in through here, we kind of like selling some $6 corn calls and some $13.80 bean calls. In order for those to be wrong, the market has to go there. It is a marginable position, but our plan is, if we do go to those levels, we'll convert those to cash sales. If we don't go to those levels, you can collect 25, 26 cents on beans, and you can collect about 15, 16 cents on corn.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He and Wayne Nelson are both with AgMarket.net. Have you dialed in yet? 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support for Commodity Week, for the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. I sure hope so. Thank you. If you have, if not, you still have time. Do it right now. 217-BIG-WILL. That's 217-244-9455. Or go online to willpledge.org or willag.org. At either place, you'll find the donate button. And make sure that you put in the comments that you're donating in support of agriculture. On Friday, I caught up with Greg Johnson. He joined us to talk about the marketplace as well. Greg, thank you for being with us. I want to take a little bit of a different tact with you, because I know that brokers, the agricultural economists from the University of Illinois, you, many others, told producers starting last fall, even into late summer and all the way through the winter months, that they probably should think about marketing new crop corn to at a minimum cover the cost that they had for that crop, this crop they're putting in the ground now. If they're like me, they tried and maybe they failed. I know I did. So here's some questions that I have for you, Greg, as it's related to the cash grain situation, because now we're faced with a big crop probably out of South America and here in the United States until it's not. I know that Darrell Good always told me to consider it a normal marketing year until it's not. And so it wasn't to begin with, which told you you should sell early. And now I think it probably is more like a regular normal marketing year. We're going to have go from a 1.3 billion bushel carryout or something like that to somewhere in that 1.8 billion bushels. What does the normal seasonal cash market look like through the end of May, June, July, and into August under these conditions?
Under these conditions, this is more like a 2013 type crop year when we came off of the high prices of the drought year of 2012. Or it's more like a 2020 crop year, not the last 2 years. And unfortunately, that's what farmers remember is the price action the last 2 years, where it just paid to basically be slow on your trigger and the prices just kept going higher. But a more typical pattern with a big crop is like 2020. In that year, December corn started the year at $4, went all the way down to $3.20 in August before bouncing back to $4 late in the year. In 2013, we didn't even get that back. We got started at $6, went down all the way through mid-June, and then we got a little 40-cent rally, but then after that, we continued on lower and finished the year at $4.20. So that's kind of the typical pattern, I think, for a big crop, is that it just continues to ebb away lower it throughout the year, and we have to take advantage of those 40-cent rallies. And it may come in May, it may come in June, it may come in July, but since we've lost 60 cents already this year, I don't really anticipate farmers getting real excited about selling corn at these levels. But I guess my point, after looking at some of the charts from those past big years, would be to take advantage of small rallies. I know they're not what we want. We're going to say, yeah, we lost 60, 70, 80 cents, and now we've only gained back not even half of that. But I don't think we can look at where we've been. I think we have to look at where we're going. And if we think we're going to be lower by this fall, which I guess I'm in that camp, assuming it's a normal crop, then we have to take advantage of those small rallies and sell small rallies, because that's going to be a better price than probably what we'll see this fall.
Does it pay in these kinds of years to store on the farm?
Depends where you start from. This year it didn't, because corn was $6.75 cash in the fall. So looking back, no, paying the elevator or putting it in your own bins didn't pay. Most years it does, but most years we start at somewhat lower prices. So it all depends on where you're starting as a price point as to whether it will pay or not. Typically it does. I mean, even paying elevators, the DP charges, the basis usually improves enough to more than offset that DP charge. So typically it does pay to store. But again, if corn's $6, $7, probably not. If corn's $4, $4 to $5, then a much better likelihood that it will return, make a positive return to store corn.
And you used some initials there, DP, which stands for deferred pricing contracts. Can you go through that very quickly with me? And in the state of Illinois, it's a little different than in other states, because here the grain code protects the producer, but not necessarily in other states.
Correct. Yeah. In Illinois, a farmer doesn't have to sell the grain. He can put it into what we call delayed pricing. Some people call it deferred pricing. Some people call it price later. What it does is it transfers the ownership to the elevator. The elevator can, doesn't have to, but can ship that out if they want to, even if the farmer hasn't sold it yet. If the basis levels basically are high enough, the elevator may choose to sell that, but that would be a last resort. Usually the elevators sell their own inventory, what they bought from farmers first, and then only in, towards the end of the marketing year, if the farmers haven't sold it, the elevators may move it then to make space for the upcoming new crop. But that's what delayed price or deferred pricing is it's a way to transfer ownership to the elevators to keep the grain moving, even if the farmer doesn't actually price it himself.
And so in that case, instead of having an in charge or a storage charge from the fall to January, you have a delayed price charge.
Correct. It's kind of two ways of saying the same thing. It's storage. Just think of it as storage. with the exception being the elevator can move the grain. So that's the difference between delayed pricing and storage, is the elevator can move that grain. If it's in storage, the elevator can't move that grain until the farmer actually sells it.
Yes, in this case, the elevator has title to the grain with delayed pricing and does not have title to the grain if you use storage. Now, let's turn back around and back up, because there is old crop to sell yet. Producers are likely to be in and out of the field for the next couple of weeks. It looks like they'll have open planting time, so they may have time to move crop. When should they?
Since we've lost so much here in the month of April, I guess I'm looking for that small bounce, that 20, 25 cent bounce. We do have E15 that's going to be available this summer. We're going to have the potential Black Sea corridor issues. We've got flooding on the Mississippi River. That might allow for rail bids to be a little bit better if we can't get the grain down the Mississippi via barge. So all those things are potential things that might give us that little 20 cent, 25 cent bounce. Whenever we get that, I think we probably should take advantage of it, just because it just feels like you said earlier, in a typical big crop year, the price action tends to just keep eating away at us. And before we know it, we're down around that $4.90, $5 level.
What is your assessment of the soybean market at this time?
The South American crop in Brazil, especially, I think is big enough to offset all the concerns that we had about Argentina. So that's why we've seen Brazil basically selling it at whatever price it takes to capture the export market. They need to make room for the corn crop, the double crop corn that'll be hitting their area in July. So they're trying to move as many beans now as possible. So in the short run, this is negative soybeans, and we've seen that as far as price and basis is concerned. We've seen both of those drop dramatically here in the month of April. But the big picture is we're still looking at a 225 million bushel carryout. Obviously, if we have a big crop and Brazil has a big crop again next year, that carryout will increase, but it only takes one weather problem, and that 225 carryout is extremely tight historically. So I don't want to say the soybean market is over, but it would take a weather problem to get the market excited again.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM, Total Grain Marketing, from right here in Champaign County. Joined us on this edition of Commodity Week. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Our other panelists included Wayne Nelson of AgMarket.net, along with Kurt Kimmel, also of AgMarket.net. Now, if Commodity Week makes a difference in the way you think about the marketplace, I hope that you will take this opportunity right now to thank us, or at least to pledge your financial support to us at 217-244-9455. Greg and Wayne and Kurt and the rest of the analysts all volunteer their time here at Illinois Public Media, and we work hard to try to come up with some really valuable information for you. If it makes a difference, give us that call, 217-244-9455. I like the $160 donation level, but whatever you offer is fantastic, whether that's less or more, that's perfectly fine. The important part is that you call in and tell the station that you're supporting agriculture. Or if you're online at willpledge.org or at willag.org and you hit the donate button up on the right-hand corner of the page, put in the comments section, "in support of agriculture." That's really the important part. Don't wait. Do it right now at willpledge.org, willag.org, donate button, or 217-244-9455. And thank you so very much for taking your time, spending it with us here at Illinois Public Media and the agricultural programming that comes to you from the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.